This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant consultant from the Chartis Group, Jonathan Waller. It's a pleasure to get a chance to talk to Jonathan today. We'll talk about key healthcare trends he's seeing, what he sees as top priorities from healthcare leaders and CEOs, and advice he would have for other emerging leaders trying to have great careers. Jonathan, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me today, first and foremost, I really appreciate being a part of this podcast. So a little bit about me. As you know, you introduced me as a consultant at the Chartis Group, a Chicago-based healthcare-focused management consulting firm. I also live here in Chicago, but I'm a native of Flint, Michigan. And from there, I spent some time at the University of Tennessee for my undergrad and University of Michigan then for my master's in healthcare admin. And really enjoyed both experiences. And from there, I did a fellowship year down in South Carolina at Palmetto Health, now known as Prisma Health, after their merger. And then I spent some time at a smaller boutique firm before coming to Chartis. So it's been a windy road, but it's led along a pretty fun journey thus far. And I'm excited to be here with you today.
So, Jonathan, I'll do one quick digression. You were from Flint, Michigan, sort of the greatest University of Michigan team ever assembled. He had five players from Flint, Michigan. How does that happen?
You know, Flint is a place where, hard work comes first. A lot of really, really great people have come out of my city, our city. I'm a Flintstone at heart. And it's just a place where hard work always comes to the forefront. And that's how you gain people's respect. And it's one of those places where if you can make it out of Flint, you can do anything. And for the people who are still there, they're still great people too. But there's something about it. If you get out of the 810, that's what we call it, you can go really far. And so we've had some really great people, even just recently with the Lakers, Kyle Kuzma and JaVale McGee just won an NBA title, two Flintstones as well.
Amazing. And so I'm not a University of Michigan fan. I grew up cheering against them, but I love Juwan Howard. Are you a fan of Juwan Howard, who's now the Michigan coach?
Yeah. Oh yeah, big time. I'm happy Coach Howard's back in Ann Arbor. He's always been a great spokesperson for the program, even when he was in the pros before he came back to campus. And I think now he'll bring a new flavor to campus and give us a new era of Michigan basketball. So I'm excited to watch what they do.
I mean, he's an inspiring leader. He really is. Talk about what you see in healthcare today, sort of 3 to 5 trends that you're seeing that particularly grab your attention or that you're looking at Chartis.
Yeah, so just a little background about Chartis. We have a unique model in that we really focus on strategy and performance, and we really back that around analytics to bring forward solutions to our clients. And so I've been able to see a broad range of projects in my time at Chartis. But, three things that I'm really seeing today in our interesting environment nationally that we're in right now, the first of which is just continued activity in the form of partnerships, Scott. So a lot of systems are trying to survive, first and foremost. Margins were tighter than ever prior to COVID, and now even post-COVID, we're seeing even tighter margins. A lot of systems are trying to figure out how they're going to survive, first and foremost. And then also beyond that, how do you thrive in the future? With the continued focus on operational excellence and population health, partnerships are where two organizations can really bring their assets to the table and achieve clinical differentiation and, things like accretive growth and integration, scale, and value that really goes towards a joint vision for both entities that makes a lot of sense. So that's something that, we've really seen an increase in partnership work across our practices, and it's been exciting, quite frankly. Beyond that, in terms of innovation, I think that's been a buzzword for a long time in healthcare, but it's specifically in the realm of digital health where we're seeing trends going. So we already know there was a growing wave of healthcare technology and how we can further link patients to access to care as much as possible, wherever they are, whenever they need it. But I think COVID has really helped to speed up that adoption curve for many of those remote technologies that can either deliver care or assist in health management and maintenance. And a lot of organizations are really beginning to dig deeper. And we're also seeing tech companies such as Amazon and Apple get into the healthcare space and really occupy the digital health space. Thirdly, continued strategies around health disparities. And this is something that, of course, I'm passionate about. Flint, Michigan is a majority Black town, and It has had its share of headlines in the national news about its health disparities, but especially for systems with high minority populations that typically have disproportionately higher rates of diabetes or heart failure, for example, these things are really coming to the forefront. So whether it's leveraging digital health or simply increasing investments in grassroots community programs and partnerships, we're seeing a lot of health systems are stepping up to the charge to fight these disparities that often leave people of color, people that look like me, having to make incredibly difficult decisions around basic life necessities, quite frankly, in order to determine whether they can access or pay for their medicine or pay for their rent or be able to afford basic transportation around town. So health systems are really doubling down in that area. Those are really three trends that I've been seeing and have been focused on as of late.
So love that. Three big thoughts around increased partnerships, huge increases in telehealth, virtual health, and then a lot of focus on healthcare disparities. And as you know, right, Flint's had a lot of those issues. It also had the water crisis and some other issues and some real challenges. And important that these issues are put at the forefront of leadership. Jonathan, another question for you. As you talk to CEOs, you talk to leaders, what are you seeing as the top three or four priorities of leaders as you talk with them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, we're fortunate to work with a lot of great clients, and you can hear a few different things because there are different types of systems and different geographies and where they stand. Things can differ, but some of the things that I continue to hear when we talk to CEOs and C-suites across the country is just, you know, even before COVID came into play, there's always that balance of being mission-driven but also remaining financially viable. You know, how can CEOs and their leadership teams continue to serve everyone in their community, everyone that they outline in their mission, but also see stronger financial performance as indicated in metrics like your EBITDA margin year over year. So that's always one of the key things at the top of any executive's list that we work with. Secondly, two things that I've really noticed lately is just, especially in the post-COVID, well, mid-COVID and post-COVID environment, is just the reprioritization of priorities. And what I mean by that is that it's what are our most pressing issues in this new normal? What are the things that were once first order strategically or operationally for us that may now be second order and vice versa? You know, are we truly playing to our strengths in this environment right now to ensure viability? It's no longer just about networks of care when you think strategically. It's really about caring for the whole patient and expanding into other core businesses such as payers, technology, and retail settings, and thinking about how we can prioritize our way into those arenas in order to remain on the forefront. And then lastly, you know, which is really just a big picture thought, which is what CEOs should be thinking about, is just trying to prepare for that healthcare ecosystem of the future. You know, what's the balance of power between health systems, payers, and consumers in this continuing shift towards consumerism? You know, CEOs are continuing to apply pressure on how their organizations think about shifting in order to be able to accommodate the needs of their consumers. And, you know, at Chartis, one unique perspective we bring to the table is that when we say consumers, we aren't talking about just patients. We're thinking about consumers in terms of both patients and health professionals. So on one hand, you must be able to attract patients to your network and serve them with good care and quality and have strong quality outcomes, excuse me. But you also need to be able to recruit and retain employed and aligned physicians, as well as other professionals, namely nurses and APPs, in order to support that core book of business. So CEOs have a large task ahead of them in this healthcare environment. But I think we're in a shifting environment to where we'll be able to achieve that in due time.
And take a moment, Jonathan. You've got brilliant leadership in Ken Graveboys and brilliant leadership at Chartis overall. Ridiculous high brain power at your firm and with you. What does the health system of the future look like? I mean, there was all these thoughts up to COVID, there'd be a ton less hospital beds, it'd be a much more, you know, less hospital-centric care environment. And with COVID, although people want to move more to ambulatory and so forth, there sure has been this need for a huge number of hospital beds. And so what we sort of seemed to, we had one trend going one way, a trend through COVID that both accelerates some of that, but decelerates some of that. So what does the health system of the future look like?
You know, I think Scott, that's not a question that can be answered perfectly at this time. You know, I think it's something that you continue to see evolve. And I think nationally within different markets and regions based on you know, payer strategy, state laws and regulation, it could be very different in very different areas of the country as it is now. But I think that you'll really see something that's gone from what was once hospital-centric to what was network-centric to now something that's truly health-centric, that's an interpolation of not only just the health system, but the consumerism piece, the retail technology, and then also population health strategies, which pulls in payers. And beyond that, you know, you got to think about the financial institutions, private equity firms that are getting into the healthcare space, the technology firms that are getting into the healthcare space, you know, potential for more deregulation in the future, and also just increased investment. There's a lot of things that could come into play, but it's really going to evolve in partnerships and relationships. It's gonna depend on that.
And let me ask you a question, Jonathan. There's a lot of this discussion around Walmart. Is that something that takes up discussion around your executives, or people not really talk about Walmart very much and what they're trying to do?
Oh, well, you need to know what Walmart's doing, because Walmart, they have a few things. You know, they have scale, they have capital behind them, and they have familiarity with consumers. And so when we work with our clients and we think about how they want to attack population health or how they want to impact care in different ways in their community, we need to understand what Walmart's doing in their respective communities and how there's potential for partnership or how they may need to be looked at as a strategic competitor in some ways. You know, you really don't want them to be a competitor because they have such a broad impact and scale amongst people, but how can we better connect our care to understand how we can partner with Walmart and what they're doing? And it goes beyond Walmart. There's CVS, there's Amazon, there's Apple, things like that. All of these are power players in the system, the healthcare environment, if you will. But no doubt, Scott, we definitely have to acknowledge what they're doing and think about with each and every client that we work with, how that may come into play.
And for your big clients, and this is also an impossible question, so bear with me, Jonathan. Amazon, Apple, Google, Optum. Who's most on their mind of those four?
That is an impossible question. When you say undermine, clarify that for me. I don't want to say.
Well, undermine. So are they? You know, I'll take undermine. I'm so sorry. I'll take Optum as a foe or friend, and does it depend on the system?
I say that depends on the system, but I will say that this is a personal opinion. This is a non-consulting opinion. I think Optum is doing big things. You know, they have a lot of different chips in different areas of the industry in which they have leverage to be able to impact the healthcare system, quite frankly, in ways that not many other companies can. And so I like what Optum's doing. And then also from a data standpoint, they have the ability to leverage and utilize their data differently than a lot of other companies do. And so I think Optum is really on the forefront of population health and trying to influence patient trends and care utilization in some ways that I think that the rest of us in the healthcare system can learn from and maybe replicate one day. It's a lot of times I watch and see what they do, but Optum is a company that I enjoy keeping my eye on.
Certainly. Jonathan, one more question for you. You've got this great evolving career. It's a pleasure to watch you grow and grow into leadership. What advice do you have for other people trying to build great careers? Any 1 to 3 pieces of advice you'd give somebody else trying to build a great career?
Yeah, sure. I think for me, of course, I haven't figured it out myself. I really enjoy the journey, but there's still a long ways to go. But I think, you know, 2 take-home points that I've learned, 1 personally and 2 through client work in my field of consulting, is the first is just authenticity always wins, Scott. You know, there's many of us striving to reach the top, whatever that means for each person. And most of us will get there. However, you know, hard work and a bit of luck, quite frankly, seems to be the only way to get there. Being authentic makes that hard work easier, and it'll allow you to just build your brand in a way that is what you definitely want to be remembered for and as someone people enjoy working with. And then secondly, what I've learned from, you know, being in different C-suites all across the country is that you're only as strong as those alongside you. You know, I've been fortunate to work within many different great organizations and seeing people perform at different levels of excellence. And there are different phenotypes of leaders and there are different dynamics within leadership teams. But what I can tell you is that I've yet to see a successful CEO who didn't have a strong team around them. I've yet to see a successful C-suite person in general who didn't have a strong team beside them. So I think the point there is just understanding that relationships are so valuable, and the people who you surround yourself with, who you spend your time with, who you invest your energy with, are what's going to make you successful. And 9 times out of 10, what it seems is that you all will be successful together. So there's no reason in being selfish, and there's no reason in being overly competitive with people who can also help you succeed. And so those are the things that I try to pass on to people who come behind me. And those are things that I still continue to try to learn from those in front of me, Scott.
Well, and Jonathan, we love that. Authenticity and working with remarkable teams and building remarkable teams is everything. You guys have done a wonderful job of that at Chartis. We appreciate, Jonathan, you joining us so much today. Thank you very much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thanks, Scott. Take care.